Lord, as I pray. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word, this message from your Bible. And I just pray that you'd help me to do justice, Lord God, in explaining a lot of the truths behind it and in the context, too, for us. And I just pray that it would stick, and more than stick, that it would transform and help us, Lord God, to be more Christ-like. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, get ready. This is going to be a hellfire and brimstone sermon. Do you realize that there are a lot of church folk who are going to end up in hell? Do you realize that there are a lot of people that, and they were elders, they were deacons, every week at church, ushered, taught Sunday school, pastors, some of them, and they're going to hell. How do you figure that doesn't jive? All right, hang with me. I'll get back to that. Here was Paul, and what he's talking about, you know, in the text that Orland read was his sterling pedigree. You know, and you can read even in other passages where he talks about his sterling pedigree. I mean, he had it. He had it all together. I mean, Pharisee of all Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they were the religious elite. I mean, everybody looked up to them. I mean, they had it all together. Very religious. And that's what Paul's basically saying here. He said, as far as religion goes, I was there. There's one person put it, you can have a ton of religion and yet not have 1 ounce of salvation. As we were talking about in confirmation class, oh, the devil, as far as he's concerned, he'd love it if you were very religious. Great. He'll help you. That's just fine with him. You can be very religious, have a ton of religion, and yet not have an ounce of salvation. How does that work? Well, you know, Jesus in Matthew 7, 21-23, he gives us more than just a hint. When he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on and he talks about certain people. He goes, there's going to be people that are going to be like, hey, Jesus, I prophesied in your name. I did miracles in your name. I cast out demons in your name. Sounds impressive, doesn't it? Sounds like good religious folk. Not just good religious folk. I mean, leaders. Who prophesies in Jesus' name? Who casts out demons? Who does miracles in Jesus' name? We're talking about the heavy hitters, the pastors and evangelists and church leaders, right? And Jesus said, I'm going to tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers. You can just imagine their response, their reaction. What? What? How does this happen? How do very religious people end up getting thrown into hell? Did you kind of get the tone, though, of those people? Look what I did in your name. Look the things I did. Based on that, here I am. I get to go to heaven, right? They thought that based on the works of their own acts of righteousness, they get to go to heaven. That's the big error. Nothing you could ever do, all the righteous acts that you could do, amount to nothing when it comes to access to heaven. Here's the way Isaiah put it. He said, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Filthy, disgusting rags, he says. All the righteous thing? I mean, if what you're doing these acts of righteousness for are to try and establish an account, I got this account going. It's a ledger. And that's literally, in this text, Paul is using accounting terms. When he's talking about, you know, gain, profit, loss, I count all things as loss to gain Christ. It's an accounting. He's talking accounting terms. So those people who think that they're establishing some ledger, and that's where Paul was, he said, you know, I had this list. I had it all there. I had this sterling religious resume. But when he got to understand Christ and the reality, he said all that just became rubbish. It was just all moved from this side of the ledger to the other. Everything that was a credit became just a debit, and even a debit to the very poorest extent. And so all of our righteous acts can actually come and work against us if you think that you're doing it to gain heaven, because it all just deceives you. It all becomes what I deserve, what I merit. And so the worst thing that I can hear is when asked that question, well, you know, do you know if you're going to heaven when you die? Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm a good person. No. Wrong answer. You're not. You know, when this young, wealthy person came to Jesus and he addressed Jesus, he said, good teacher. What was Jesus' response? Why do you call me good? No one's good except for God. Jesus wasn't denying that he's good. I mean, he is God. But in his answer, why do you call me good? No one's good except God. Only God is good. And only God is good enough for heaven. And the only way we can get to heaven is to get God in us. And so it's Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, washing away our sins. And then when we give our life to Jesus, we literally give our life, we die to ourselves that he might live in us. And then his Holy Spirit does come and reside in us, and we get God in us, because only God is good enough to get into heaven. And so we are then clothed with Christ. See all that imagery? It's imagery that is a reality, though. That's how you get to heaven. And that's the only way. So you can't be righteous and get to heaven if it's your righteousness. Only if you're clothed with Jesus' righteousness. Well, then what's the use of being righteous? Okay, I'll get saved and then I'll live unrighteously. Let's read then Romans 6, because that's the argument Paul is addressing. And he says, people might ask, well, what then? Well, if God's grace increases because of our unrighteousness, then let's be sinners and sin even more so the grace can increase. No, he says, by no means. If righteous acts don't get you into heaven, well, certainly unrighteous acts won't get you into heaven either. So listen up. This is very important. This is all the marbles here. Like I said to the kids, this is the pass-fail test. You either pass or you fail. And we are talking about hell here. Okay? Don't allow anything to put a wedge between you and God to where you don't deserve heaven. So we don't just then get swept away by sin either. So let me make that clear. Don't then just get lost in, and what is it? What could it be in your life that might be keeping you from an all-out commitment to Jesus? Because that really is what salvation is about. It is about dying to yourself. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ Jesus, therefore I no longer live. It's Jesus Christ who now lives in me. Have you given your life over to God? Have you just given it all? Jesus flat out just said, if you're not willing to just give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. Well, can you get into heaven if you're not Jesus' disciple? If you're not his disciple, if you're not following him, you don't go to heaven. Is there something that you're not willing to give up that might prevent you from going to heaven? Be careful. Be careful. And we talked a little bit about this last week. I had a good conversation with Dave afterward. You know, this whole question about can you lose your salvation? No, you cannot lose your salvation. Once you got it, you know, you got it. But you can walk away from it. Okay? So God is never going to walk away from you, but you could conceivably walk away from him. All right? And that's why in the Bible, you read about them cautioning The apostles in the epistles, they're cautioning us: persevere, make sure that you stick with it, make sure that you don't allow sin to get a foothold and sweep you away. So watch out. Don't allow, what is it? Pornography? That's a big one today. So be very careful. If you're involved in that, that doesn't get a hook in you and start pulling you away. What is it? You're drinking? You got a drug problem? Is there something that's hooking you? Starting to pull you away? Influence you away? What is it? Some relationship? Reconnecting with somebody on Facebook? An old high school friend, and now we're getting to be more than chums again? Be very careful. Be very careful. What is it that could draw you away to the point that it gets a wedge in there and so deceives you that you willfully turn away from God and start walking the other way? Don't you give up what you've gained through Jesus Christ. All right? This is all the marbles. Hell and heaven. Okay? I like the way that J. Vernon McGee put it. A great many people need to lose their religion to find Jesus Christ, as Paul did. Great many people need to lose their religion. We got to get away from that religiosity, trying to build up a ledger, build up a credit. This is all I'm doing, all these things I'm doing for you, God. No. The reason I do these things, it's not that we don't do them, but the reason I do them is because Jesus is living through me. This was the sermon last week. So Philippians 2:13, when Paul said, "For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Yeah, there's works. But it's just, I'm doing them because it's God working through me. I mean, if I do any good works, and I hope I am, because again, the works just prove that, yeah, I am saved. They prove that Jesus is in me, but I don't take any credit. And perish the thought that I would imagine that those works are earning me a ticket to heaven. I do them because I love Jesus, and I love y'all, and just God's put His love inside of me, and really, it's Jesus doing them, so I don't get any credit for Him. I just love what He's doing. I just love that He's using me. I'm just honored by that. That's where works fit in, right? So the all-important crux of the matter is just this. It's self-righteousness versus faith in Christ. We cannot live a life of self-righteousness. And there's going to be a horrific comeuppance for a lot of religious folk when they get to heaven and they're turned away. It can't be about establishing self-righteousness. All my righteousness, if I have any, is because of Christ, being clothed with Christ. That's it. And here's the powerful faith. So verse 10 in this text, Paul says, it's all about to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. So it's about knowing Christ. What I mean knowing? Think about it. The Pharisees knew Jesus. Oh, they knew Him quite well. Well, they'd listened to His teaching. Oh, yeah. The Pharisees knew Him. And they crucified Him. It's not enough to know about Jesus. You got to know Him in a way where you love Him. You just fall in love with Him. You fall in love with Him to where it's like marriage. When you get married to a girl, you just love her so much, I can't imagine life without her. I'm willing to commit to her and nobody else. Same thing with Jesus. I just love Him so much, I'm willing to commit to Him and nobody and nothing else. I mean, He's my all. In fact, I give my life for Jesus and now allow Him to live His life through me. That's knowing Jesus. And if you really, truly know Jesus, you cannot help but loving Him. It's just automatic to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Resurrection power, you know it because it's in you, because the Holy Spirit's in you. And so the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. That's power. Oh baby, that's power. Resurrection power working in and through. And so then there are works. Oh, I mean, if you've given, I said this last week, asked the question, if you've given your life to God don't you think he's going to want to do something with your life? Oh, yeah. Cool stuff. Really cool stuff. Could happen. Will happen. All right? The power, resurrection power working through us, and to share in his sufferings. Here's the deal. Don't go after some comfy, cozy religion. Ah, it's all very nice, but you know, I don't want to suffer. I mean, you know, I don't want my life to be uncomfortable, and perish the thought I'd have to give anything up. Yeah. That's the kind of religion that will get you into hell. It is. No. I mean, suffering is just a part of it. Because the devil will make sure that, and all the control he has in this world, that a lot of the forces of this world and the other world are just going to be out after you. You'll suffer. We're going to share in Christ's sufferings. That's the bad news. But then we get to share in his glory. And what does it matter if I have to suffer 50, 60 years? I mean, if I live a long time, maybe I suffer and I die an early death, and I get to go to heaven after that and spend eternity in glory. Hey, weigh that one in the balance. Put that one on the ledger. Oh yeah, heaven wins out every time in my estimation. Give it up. Again, what is it that you might not be willing to give up? Really? Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, I've worked hard and I've got a lot of money and I like my lifestyle. Really? And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? What won't you give up? It's not worth it. Give it up. Be willing to suffer. And as Paul puts it, and to die. To suffer for him, becoming like him in his death. Yeah. I've been crucified. I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives through me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. That's my life. That's my life. You establish your life that way, then yeah, heaven is yours. Your confidence is in Christ and that you have turned your life over to him. It's just like leaving your life at the foot of the cross and anything else, any of the other baggage. What do you need to leave at the foot of the cross? What's holding you back? Is there anything holding you back from going all out with Jesus? Is there something you need to leave here at the foot of the cross this morning? And you persevere. That's the last part about it. I'm not even going to get into it. We don't have time. That was the last part of the text. Persevere. Because once you got it, don't allow sin to work its way back in and then take you captive and turn you away from Jesus. You persevere. But what might you need to leave here at the foot of this cross? Have you given everything? Have you turned your life over to Jesus? Because that's what salvation is all about. Right, this is the way we're going to conclude the message. Same thing I did last week. I'm going to give you about 2 minutes this time. Look right there in the sermon notes at the bottom. First thing is a question. Yes or no? I am confident I will go to heaven after I die. Yes or no? If you're not, and after this message, you don't understand, come talk to me, please. I mean, again, this is all the marbles. Are you confident that you're going to heaven? Before God's throne, I'll make this appeal. Please, do not write there, because I'm good enough. Weren't you listening? All right. What kind of appeal will you give to God? And then down there, my strategy to prevent myself from falling back, that I would never turn my back on Jesus, that I would never turn away from him. What's your strategy to prevent that? All right. 2 minutes of silence. I want you to meditate and think on that. Fill it out.